Chapter 118. Rear suspension and service. Solid rear axles. All suspensions have two basic jobs: keeping the tires on the ground and providing a smooth ride. A solid axle can be used at the rear of either rear-wheel drive or front-wheel drive vehicle. See Figure 118-1. On a rear-wheel drive vehicle, a solid rear axle consists of the differential gears and axle shafts inside a solid housing. On a front-wheel drive vehicle, a solid axle is usually a simple U-shaped or tubular beam that may contain a torsion bar, rod, or tube to allow some twisting action. Certain characteristics apply to any solid rear axle, while other characteristics vary by the type of suspension used to attach the axle to the frame. Solid axles have some handling characteristics that are inferior to those of an independent suspension. Disadvantages of a solid axle include the following: increased proportion of unsprung weight, side-to-side road shock transference, and poorer tire adhesion. Increasing the proportion of unsprung weight decreases ride quality. Transferring road shock from side to side causes wheel tremp and shimmy, and poor tire adhesion accelerates tire wear. See Figure 118-2. The sprung weight of the frame and body must be heavy to oppose the unsprung weight of a solid axle, especially on a driven axle. Unsprung weight, wheel tremp, and shimmy all reduce tire adhesion. The effects of these problems are more noticeable in rear-wheel drive vehicles due to the weight of the rear axle and differential assembly. On a typical front-wheel drive vehicle, the simple axle beam is not heavy enough to decrease ride quality or cause extreme tire wear. In fact, the rear tires of a front-wheel drive model always wear more slowly than the front tires because the rear axle is so much lighter than the powertrain. If engine torque is applied to the rear axle to drive the vehicle, the axle is referred to as a live axle. Refer to Figure 118-1. Solid axles are used on rear-wheel drive vehicles as well as on front-wheel drive vehicles. Refer to Figure 118-2. A solid axle supports the springs, so the axle and suspension components are unsprung weight. When one wheel rides over a bump, the force of impact transfers through the solid axle to the opposite side, leading to unstable handling. Frequently asked question: what is axle windup? Axle windup is a product of the law of physics, which states that every action produces an equal and opposite reaction. As the axle shafts rotate in one direction to drive the wheels, the axle housing attempts to rotate in the opposite direction. The force of this reaction tends to lift the front end of the vehicle during acceleration. See Figure 118-3. Axle windup is a particular problem with a solid, driven rear axle because the axle housing concentrates the reacting force. Under extreme acceleration, the reacting force can actually tilt the drive shaft upward and lift the front wheels off the ground. Leaf springs, control arms, pinion snubbers, and torque arms all are means of controlling axle windup. Leaf spring rear suspensions. A leaf spring suspension is a simple system because it does not require control arms to brace and position the axle. The leaf springs link the axle to the frame and effectively serve two purposes: absorbing road shock and locating the axle under the vehicle. Most rear-wheel drive trucks use a solid rear axle with leaf springs in an arrangement called a Hotchkiss drive. See Figure 118-4. Leaf springs on a driven axle control axle windup by transferring force from the axle housing to the frame. The front portion of the leaf spring, from the axle housing to the frame mount, acts like a trailing control arm. However, if the front section of the leaf spring is too flexible, it may not control axle windup as well. To compensate, some manufacturers make the front section of the spring shorter, and therefore less flexible, than the rear section. Leaf springs are used on the rear of many light and medium-duty trucks and vans. See Figure 118-5. The wheel spindles bolt to the flanges, the centers of the leaf springs rest on the seats, and U-bolts secure the springs to the axle. A shackle attaches the rear of each spring to the unit body frame, while the front of each spring pivots through a bolt and bushing connected to a hanger that bolts to the body. Refer to Figure 118-3. When the axle housing reacts against the force of axle shaft rotation, the front of the differential tilts upward, creating axle windup. Refer to Figure 118-4. A typical rear-wheel drive pickup truck rear suspension equipped with leaf springs. This type of arrangement is called a Hotchkiss drive, and the drivetrain forces are controlled by the rear suspension components. Refer to Figure 118-5. An exploded view of a beam axle with multi-leaf springs. Refer to Figure 118-6. A trailing arm rear suspension with a solid axle used on a front-wheel drive vehicle. Trailing arm rear suspensions. A trailing arm extends from a frame cross member located ahead of the rear axle back to the axle housing or a wheel knuckle. Trailing arms run parallel to the centerline of the chassis. See Figure 118-6. A trailing arm mounts to the frame with bushings, which allow the arm to pivot as the wheel rides over bumps. Some rear suspensions use two sets of trailing arms, one set positioned higher in the chassis than the other. Although the arms in this type of arrangement are commonly referred to as the upper control arms and lower control arms, they are usually called trailing arms. The word trailing applies to any link where the supported member trails the arm. Trailing arms may be used to brace either a driven or non-driven solid rear axle against front-to-rear forces, but they do not provide much resistance to side-to-side, or lateral, forces. The axle itself is one means of locating the wheels side-to-side, and solid rear suspensions frequently use another rod to provide additional support. Trailing arms transfer axle wind-up force to the frame and control front-to-rear axle movement. On a few models, especially those with a high-performance suspension, a torque arm provides additional resistance to axle wind-up. See Figure 118-7. The torque arm extends parallel to the drive shaft between the rear axle and the transmission. One end of the torque arm is rigidly bolted to the differential housing, while the other end attaches to the transmission through a cushioned bracket to allow some flex. A trailing arm rear suspension on a non-driven solid axle virtually always includes a track rod, also called a Panhard rod. A track rod is a rod attached to the body or frame on one end and the rear axle on the other. The purpose of the track rod is to keep the rear axle centered under the vehicle. The suspension may use either coil springs or struts. The rear axle is a U-shaped steel beam that is open on the bottom. See Figure 118-8. Flat metal axle end plates, to which the wheel spindles bolt, are attached to each end of the beam. A torsion tube or rod fits inside the beam and is welded to the axle end plates. The trailing arms, which are welded to the outboard ends of the axle, extend forward and attach to the frame with pivot bushing mounts. A bracket on top of the beam axle locates the ring-type lower strut mount, and the upper strut mount attaches to a reinforced area of the wheel well. Refer to Figure 118-7. This rear suspension systems use a torque arm to control axle windup. If the rubber torque arm bushings, cushions, are worn, a loud bang could be heard and felt when accelerating suddenly. Refer to Figure 118-8. A typical beam axle rear suspension, which uses trailing arms and coil springs along with a track rod, also called a Panhard rod, to control side-to-side axle movement. Semi-trailing arm rear suspensions. A semi-trailing arm is similar to a trailing arm in that it extends back from a frame member to the axle. However, a trailing arm is parallel to the vehicle centerline, whereas a semi-trailing arm pivots at an angle to the vehicle centerline. Semi-trailing arms have an advantage over trailing arms because they control both side-to-side and front-to-rear motion. Typically, a semi-trailing arm suspension uses coil springs, air springs, or pivot-based struts. A semi-trailing arm suspension may be used with either a solid axle or an independent suspension. The Ford suspension uses two pairs, upper and lower, of semi-trailing arms and a center pivot arrangement to locate the driven rear axle. This axle centering pivot bracket and linkage is called a Watts linkage. See Figure 118-9. Refer to Figure 118-9. This Ford rear suspension uses upper and lower semi-trailing arms to mount the rear axle and a Watts linkage to control side-to-side movement. Independent rear suspensions. The use of independent rear suspension, called IRS, has grown dramatically over the past several decades to the point where such systems are now fairly common, especially on front-wheel drive vehicles and some rear-wheel drive vehicles. Although rarely used on trucks, a number of rear-wheel drive vehicles do feature an independent rear suspension. The reduction in unsprung weight is particularly noticeable for driven axles, which are constructed to transfer the weight of the differential in axles to the frame. See Figure 118-10. A vehicle with an independent rear suspension rides and handles better than a similar vehicle equipped with a solid rear axle. An SLA type of independent suspension may be used at the rear of a rear-wheel drive vehicle. See Figure 118-11. The differential carrier bolts to the rear subframe, which bears the weight of the axle. Equal-length axle shafts with constant velocity joints abbreviated CV at either end connect the differential to the rear wheels, and allow the wheels to move independently of each other. Figure 118-11. A typical short long-arm independent rear suspension. The main benefit of an SLA suspension is that it reduces tire scrub and improves traction. The positioning of the control arms determines the suspension roll center location. In general, the lower the roll center, the less body roll. Unit body front-wheel drive vehicles frequently use strut suspensions at the rear axle. Typically, the strut mounts to the knuckle and replaces the upper control arm. The first designer to put McPherson-type struts in a rear suspension was an Englishman, Colin Chapman. For this reason, a rear strut suspension is often referred to as a Chapman strut suspension by European manufacturers and engineers. The McPherson strut system is the most popular independent rear suspension for late-model front-wheel drive vehicles. See Figure 118-12. Modified strut rear suspensions are found on a variety of front-wheel drive models from different manufacturers. See Figure 118-13. General Motors produced two different rear modified strut systems with transverse leaf springs. See Figure 118-14. A transverse leaf spring is also used on the Chevrolet Corvette and the Cadillac XLR. Refer to Figure 118-10. An independent rear suspension provides a better ride because less weight is unsprung and the suspension is able to react quickly to bumps in the road without affecting the opposite side. Refer to Figure 118-11. A typical short long arm independent rear suspension. Refer to Figure 118-12. This independent rear suspension uses a McPherson strut, two parallel lower transverse control arms, and a trailing arm. Refer to Figure 118-13. The tow control rod provides an extra brace to keep the rear wheels straight ahead during braking and acceleration on this modified strut-type independent rear suspension. Refer to Figure 118-14. A transverse monotype leaf spring used on the rear suspension of a Chevrolet Corvette. Refer to Figure 118-15. The crossbeam is placed toward the front of the vehicle rather than the centerline of the rear wheels on a semi-independent type rear suspension. Semi-independent rear suspensions. A semi-independent suspension is used only at a non-driven rear axle. The semi-independent design is based on a crossbeam that is similar to the beam axle of a solid, non-driven rear suspension. However, on a semi-independent design, the crossbeam is placed ahead, rather than at the centerline, of the wheels. See Figure 118-15. Trailing arms extend rearward from the crossbeam to the wheels. The name semi-independent indicates that although an axle does not directly link the wheels are not completely independent of each other because they are indirectly connected through the crossbeam. Some semi-independent rear suspensions use struts. See Figure 118-16. Refer to Figure 118-16. A semi-independent rear suspension with McPherson struts. Refer to Figure 118-17. Check all rubber bushings for excessive cracking. Rear suspension service. Rear suspension service starts with a thorough test drive to observe any unusual noises or vibrations that may be caused by a fault with a rear suspension component. After a test drive, safely hoist the vehicle and perform a thorough visual inspection. Use an appropriate pry bar and move all of the bushings and joints, checking for deterioration or free play. See Figure 118-17. Inspect the shock absorber or struts for leakage or damage. Inspect the bump stops for damage. See Figure 118-18. If the bump stops are damaged, this may indicate that the springs are fatigued and the vehicle is at lower than normal ride height, or that the shocks or studs are unable to control the springs. See Figure 118-19. Refer to Figure 118-18. Carefully inspect the bump stops for damage during a thorough visual inspection. Refer to Figure 118-19. A broken spring was discovered during a routine under-vehicle visual inspection. Notice the witness marks that show that the spring coils have been hitting each other. Rear shock replacement. Precautions. Before removing the rear shock absorbers, the rear axle must be supported to prevent stretching of the rear brake flexible hose. Shocks are attached to the frame or body of the vehicle at the top and to a bracket on the rear axle housing at the bottom. Often, the top of the rear shock absorber is fastened inside the vehicle. Consult the vehicle manufacturer service information for exact procedures and fastener torque values. Note, shock absorbers and or struts should always be replaced as a pair. Refer to Figure 118-20. The shock absorber needs to be disconnected before removing the coil spring. Installation is the reverse of removal procedure. Air shock installation. Air adjustable shock absorbers are a popular replacement for conventional rear shock absorbers. Air shocks can be used to level the vehicle while towing a trailer or when heavily loaded. When the trailer or load is removed, air can be released from the air shocks to return the vehicle height to normal. Most replacement air shocks are directional and are labeled left and right. This ensures that the plastic air hose line exits the shock absorber toward the center or rear of the vehicle and is kept away from the wheels. The plastic air shock line attaches to the shock absorber with an O-ring or brass ferrule and nut. An air leak can result if this O-ring or ferrule is not installed according to the manufacturer's recommendations. Route the plastic air line along the body, keeping it away from the exhaust and any other body parts where the line could be damaged. Attach the line to both shocks to a junction at a convenient location for adding or releasing air. Rear spring replacement. Rear coil springs. Replacement. Coil springs in the rear are easily replaced on both front-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive vehicles. The procedure includes the following steps. Number 1. Raise the vehicle safely on a hoist. Number 2. Remove both rear wheels. Number 3. Support the rear axle assembly with tall safety stands. Number 4. Remove the lower shock absorber mounting bolt/nuts and disconnect the shock absorber from the rear axle assembly. Number 5. Slowly lower the rear axle assembly by either lowering the height of the adjustable safety stands or raising the height of the vehicle on the hoist. And number 6. Lower the rear axle just enough to remove the coil springs. See Figure 118-20. Caution: the shock absorber is usually the only component that limits the downward movement of the rear axle to allow removal of the rear coil springs. Some vehicles may be equipped with rear suspension height sensors for the adjustable suspension system or an adjustable rear proportioning valve for the rear brakes. Some vehicles also require that the rear stabilizer bar or track rod be disconnected or removed before lowering the rear axle assembly. Always consult service information for the exact procedure and torque specifications for the vehicle being serviced. Case study: the harsh riding Buick. The owner requested that all of the shock absorbers be replaced on a 10-year-old Buick. The rear was equipped with air shocks as part of the ride leveling system. During a test drive after installing all four shocks, the service technician noticed that it seemed to ride much harsher than normal for a Buick. The technician asked the owner to ride along to verify that it was not usual to ride as harsh as it was. Puzzled as to why this occurred, the technician contacted the parts store, which then asked their supplier about the issue. It was discovered that the air shocks were not cycled before they were installed. Installing air shocks or struts requires cycling the shock or strut to spread lubricant inside the diaphragm to avoid binding. The installing technician should inflate the air diaphragm through the air fitting until the shock or strut fully extends. Then the shock can be kept fully extended to make it easier to install. After removing the rear shocks and inflating them as instructed, and reinstalling, the Buick rode normally. The summary: the complaint: the service technician was concerned that the Buick rode harsher than normal after new shock absorbers were installed. The cause: the proper installation procedure was not followed prior to installing the air shock on the rear. The correction: the air shocks were removed and cycled and then inflated before being reinstalled, which solved the harsh ride concern. Rear leaf springs. Replacement: rear leaf springs often need replacement due to one of the following common causes. Number 1. Individual leaves of a leaf spring often crack, then break. When a leaf spring breaks, the load carrying capacity of the vehicle decreases and it often sags on the side with a broken spring. Metal fatigue, corrosion, and overloading are three of the most common causes of leaf spring breakage. See Figure 118-21. Note: when one rear spring on one side sags, the opposite front end of the vehicle tends to rise. For example, if the right rear spring breaks or sags down, the left front of the vehicle tends to rise higher than the right front. This unequal vehicle height can make the vehicle difficult to handle, especially around corners or curves. Number 2. If the center bolt breaks, the individual leaves can move and the rear axle is no longer held in the correct location. When one side of the rear axle is behind the other side, the vehicle will dogtrack. Dogtracking refers to the sideways angle of the vehicle while traveling straight. It is commonly caused by the rear axle steering the vehicle toward one side, while the driver controls the direction of the vehicle with the front wheels. Note: leaf springs should be replaced in pairs. To replace leaf springs in the rear of a rear-wheel drive vehicle, follow these steps. Number 1. Raise the vehicle safely on a hoist. Number 2. Support the rear axle with safety stands. Number 3. Remove the rear shackle bolts and forward mounting bolt or mounting bracket. Number 4. Remove the U-bolts. Number 5. Being careful of any nearby brake line, remove the spring. And number 6. Install the new spring, being careful to position the center bolt correctly into the hole on the axle pedestal. Refer to Figure 118-21. The center bolt is used to hold the leaves of the leaf spring together. However, the hole for the center bolt also weakens the leaf spring. The crack shown is what a technician discovered when the leaf spring was removed during the diagnosis of a sagging rear suspension. Case study: strange leakage. The owner of a small business drove the company pickup truck into the shop to get it ready to load for the day's delivery. It was a very cold day in northern Ohio with a temperature well below freezing, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, or 0 degrees Celsius. After about 15 minutes, the business owner noticed that something was leaking from underneath the rear of the truck. See Figure 118-22. Not sure what it was, the owner called a local automotive repair shop and asked for help. The shop sent a technician to look at the truck. The service technician noticed that one of the rear shock absorbers had leaked all of the hydraulic fluid out of the bottom of the shock. See Figure 118-23. Obviously, both rear shock absorbers would require replacement because shocks should always be replaced in pairs. The service technician recommended that all four, both front and both rear, shocks be replaced to restore proper handling. Knowing that the front shock absorbers were operating under the same conditions as the rear and were the same age, the truck owner approved the replacement of all four shock absorbers. The summary: the complaint, a liquid was found leaking from underneath the truck. The cause, hydraulic fluid had leaked from a rusty shock absorber. The correction, based on the owner's approval, all four shocks were replaced. Refer to Figure 118-22. Whatever was leaking appeared to be a clear liquid, but it did not smell like gasoline. What could it be from the rear of the truck? Refer to Figure 118-23. The source of the leak was discovered to be hydraulic shock fluid that had leaked from the bottom of the shock and not from around the shaft seal, which is the most likely location for shocks to leak. Apparently, rust had eaten through the housing of the shock. Review questions. Questions 1. What are the disadvantages of a solid rear axle? Questions 2. What is the purpose of a torque arm? Questions 3. What must be done to ensure safety when replacing the rear shock absorbers? Questions 4. What is meant by dog tracking? Questions 5. What is the purpose of a track rod? Chapter Quiz. Questions 1. Most light-duty trucks use a solid rear axle that is attached to with U-bolts. A. Struts. B. Coil springs. C. Torsion bars. D. Leaf springs. Questions 2. When axle wind-up is controlled by the rear leaf spring during acceleration, this system is called A. Trailing arm. B. Semi-trailing arm. C. Torque arm. D. Hotchkiss drive. Questions 3. A loud bang is heard and felt every time the accelerator is depressed or released on a rear-wheel drive vehicle. Technician A says that a leaking shock absorber could be the cause. Technician B says worn torque arm bushings could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Questions 4. A track rod is also called A. A. Panhard rod. B. Control rod. C. Handing link. D. Semi-independent rod. Questions 5. A semi-trailing arm rear suspension uses A. Coil springs. B. Air springs. C. Struts. D. Any of the above. Question 6. During a visual inspection of the rear suspension, the service technician should check for A. Witness marks. B. Cracked rubber bushings. C. Damaged bump stops. D. All of the above. Question 7. A vehicle equipped with a coil spring front suspension and a leaf spring rear suspension dog tracks while driving on a straight, level road. Technician A says that a broken center bolt could be the cause. Technician B says defective rear shock absorbers could be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Questions 8. Two technicians are discussing rear shock absorbers. Technician A says that if one shock is leaking, then both rear shock absorbers should be replaced. Technician B says that the rear axle should be supported before removing rear shock absorbers. Which technician is correct?
A. Technician A only.
B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Questions 9. The left front of the vehicle is higher than the right front and the right rear is lower than the left rear. What is the most likely cause of this problem?
A.
A weak right rear shock absorber.
B.
A broken track rod. C. A broken left front shock absorber. D. A sagging right rear spring. Questions 10. One rear leaf spring is broken. Technician A says that both rear leaf springs should be replaced. Technician B says the rear axle should be removed from the vehicle to replace a leaf spring. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B. Technician B only.
C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 118.